is ringing around the Emirates. They're frustrated. Arsenal took the lead. The returning Bukayo Saka. Ball over the top. Robertson made the error. Dived in the book. Saka beat him and scored. Equaliser was excellent from a corner. Trent Alexander-Arnold's delivery. Near post flick on by Luis Diaz. And Virgil van Dijk on the 100th appearance as Liverpool captain got the equaliser. VAR took an eternity at the end of the first half. A free kick. Typical Arsenal scoring from a set piece. In by Rice and the Spaniard Mikel Moreno, who earlier missed a sitter from one of them, put it into the goal this time. VAR took an eternity and eventually the goal was given. Then Gabriel went off injured. We were much better possession-wise second half, and a brilliant play by Trent Alexander-Arnold over the top to Darwin Nunez. Great ball inside, and there was the Egyptian king Mohamed Salah to go level with Robbie Fowler in the Premier League all-time goal list in joint eighth place. Overall, you have to say this is a really good point for Liverpool in the end. Not at our best, but we still get a draw out of it. Arsenal 2, Liverpool 2.
That was our commentator Steve Hunter's summary of events at the Emirates as Liverpool fought back twice to come away with a very valuable point against Arsenal. I'm Becky Davis and you're listening to The Reaction. Coming up, we'll hear from Reds boss Arne Slot as well as my studio guests as well, Phil Thompson and Martin Kelly. But we will start pitch side where Rob Jones watched the game with former Liverpool midfielder Jan Molby.
Well, the Emirates is emptying and everyone's heart rates are just beginning to dip back to normal after a pulsating 90 minutes here in North London. Jan Molby has watched it as well. Who's that point suit more?
Difficult to say. You kind of got the impression at the end that everybody was quite happy with the point, even Manchester City, who weren't involved in the game. I thought at times the game was a little bit scrappy. I thought Arsenal's physical strength in the first half gave them confidence. Bukayo Saka did what he does, played extremely well. And then right from the go in the second half, I thought Liverpool took over, but without being able to really create an awful lot of chances.
That first half, was that as rattled and frazzled as you've seen Liverpool look under Arne Slot so far?
Yeah, I guess Arne Slot and his coaching staff would have looked at Arsenal this season and probably didn't expect that from Arsenal in the first 45 minutes. I probably expected Arsenal to play a bit like they did when they played Spurs, dropped into a deep block and try and live on counter-attacks, but they didn't. They stepped up, they stepped forward, and as I said before, their sort of physical strength gave them a real foothold in the game, and I think Liverpool found it really difficult to get into the game. The midfield was almost non-existent, and Arsenal controlled Liverpool's front three.
We spoke pre-match about Bukayo Saka and whether this was Leicester at home, you might not have risked him, but we saw in that first half just why he was gambled with today, if he was not quite fit, which you can't imagine he would have been.
No, but we can say whatever we want about the defending, isn't it? But from an attacking point of view, it's a beautiful game. The passes played at the right time, and you always sense in those situations he can find a solution. And he comes back inside. Robertson knew he wanted to come back inside, nothing he could do about it. And then look long and put it into the near post. Goalkeeper can do absolutely nothing. So more proof of the quality that he possesses.
We've spoken a lot this season about Arsenal's set pieces, but Liverpool scored from one before Arsenal did, and it was a lovely little flick on from Luis Diaz at the front post, actually, to find Van Dijk.
Yeah, so consecutive games they conceded from set pieces, now Arsenal. But yet again, it was a smart move. Luis Diaz just arrives right at the front, flicks it on into Van Dijk, who's in amongst four or five Arsenal players, but he's the first one to react, just nuts it in. I think that was important. I think that response so quickly after Arsenal had gone in front was very, very important.
The second Arsenal goal, again, is a set piece which feels a lot down to the quality of the delivery from Declan Rice.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, he's got a wonderful delivery. He's finally started to take corners and free kicks. And it's always one of those difficult angles. It's a difficult angle to attack from, but also a difficult angle to defend from, because how deep do you actually drop? And it took an awful lot before VAR decided that the goal was going to stand.
From how the second half started then, what did you feel were the key messages that Arne Slot had got across to his players to see the improvement we did after the break?
We have to get closer. We have to get closer to the opposition. We have to get closer to where the ball is. We have to be more competitive. And that's what Liverpool were, as I said, straight away from the first whistle, the second half. You sent it was Liverpool's game. And then Arsenal had to make some changes, which also rattled them. Gabriel was injured, played a couple of minutes injured, and he couldn't quite get it together. And Liverpool took advantage of that.
Well, we spoke again, Mo Salah, pre-match, about maybe moving to level with the great Robbie Fowler, which he has now done. And I guess today was an indication of a great forward player, that he didn't have a huge involvement in the game, but he still goes and gets his goal. It's a lovely finish. And actually, the run that he makes to go round the back of Nunez is brilliant.
I mean, in a game that maybe lacked a little bit of quality at times, there was no doubt his quality in that situation was it. You know, and there's been half chances, but you just sense that if Darwin Nunes can get that ball across, it'll be a goal. And he had obviously that far corner to put it in, into the back of the net, 2-2. And as I said before, I kind of get the impression that everybody goes home and go, we can live with that.
When we look back then over the course of the game, away from that particular moment of quality, given that Arsenal finished with a back four of Ben White, Kivior, young Lewis Skelly and Thomas Partey on the other side, will Liverpool be disappointed that they didn't test David Raya more?
Yeah, possibly. But they are difficult to create chances against Arsenal. We said that about Liverpool before the game as well, how well we've done generally in the season. And Arsenal very much the same.
Because it's tight between the defensive line and the midfield line?
I mean, more and more teams now defending a 4-4-2, don't they? 4-4-2 setup. That's the easiest way of filling the pits, getting people across, getting people close enough, no rooms in between the lines. And that was so frustrating. I mean, we saw City try to do 11 against 10 and they found it really difficult. So Liverpool found it difficult to create chances against Arsenal. In a way, it might be something that Arne Slot mentions in his press conference where he says, slightly disappointed we didn't create more, especially taking into consideration the people that Arsenal finished with on the pitch. But it was just one of those days. We've seen two of the better teams in the Premier League play here today, not necessarily at their best, but there was no one left in any doubt what was at stake.
Do you think that games like this, and there was a lot made after the last international break of, well, here comes the challenge for Liverpool, the manager said it himself, that there are bigger tests coming around the corner, that he will have learnt a lot more in the last couple of weeks against Arsenal and Chelsea than he might have done in the first 6-7 weeks combined?
It's one thing talking about we're now going to play against the better teams, but you need to learn it firsthand, don't you? What does that actually mean? What does it mean when you play against the better teams? How good are they? How good are they at various things in the game? I.e. set pieces being one of them. And I think he's learned a lot in the last week playing Chelsea and Arsenal to get a feel of what it requires. And what it requires over 38 games to play, 8, 10, 12 games against the best teams in the league, which is something that was brand new to him because he would not have experienced that in Holland. He would have had 4 games, 2 against Ajax, 2 against PSV. This is 8, 10, 12 games against teams of this level. It takes a lot.
The other thing it takes to win a title, as you will know, is character. And actually, you could give a big tick in the box for both of these teams today because, as you said, Arsenal finished with a bit of an odds and sods 11 given how many people were missing or got injured, and Liverpool, twice behind, come back to get a point.
You know, absolutely. It'll be impossible for anyone to point a finger and say this is not possible for this team to go on because of what they showed here today. They dug in when they had to dig in. They tried to play when they could. And as I said, in the end, a little bit scrappy, but we go home, it's a point each, we move on to the next game.
And the next game is a cup game against Brighton. A lot of managers new to the job will say, look, if you can win the first trophy available, that's a big tick in the box. Having said that, are you expecting wholesale changes at the Amex in midweek?
Yeah, I'll be amazed if there isn't. I think he'll make changes. So will Brighton. But Brighton equally have got a lot of really good, young, exciting players, and they want to showcase what they're capable of. I think it's always a difficult game, is it, Brighton? Brighton, whoever's in charge, is a well-coached team. We will make changes, but it'll be interesting. Of course, Arne Slot wants to win a trophy, but he also understands the importance of the Premier League and the Champions League.
Jan, thank you very much indeed. So 2 wins and a draw from games against Chelsea, Leipzig and Arsenal. You would say that represents a pretty good week for Arne Slot and Liverpool. And next up, as we mentioned, it is double Brighton.
Just a quick break in today's show to let you know that LFC TV Go is now available as a smart TV app on Amazon Fire TV and Android TV as well. You can watch all the latest on-demands and live content directly through your smart TV, whether it's full-match replays, post-match analysis, exclusive interviews, or original documentaries that delve into the club's rich history and achievements. Simply download from your TV's App Store, log in with your registered user details and get easy access to everything LFC. Now, let's get back to the show. So 2-2, it finishes in the end at the Emirates. Liverpool twice coming from a goal behind to come away with a point, which could prove, couldn't it, so valuable come May. Phil Thompson and Martin Kelly are with me in the studio, watching a lot of that through our fingers, I think, at the end. Also, we've got our fan panel on Zoom as well, standing by. We'll chat to you, Si Steers, Josh Williams and Alex Brun from our Danish Supporters Club. Very, very shortly, but first let's get the guys' reaction in the studio. It was stressful, but we will take that point all day long, I think, a good result.
Absolutely. These big games, and I think Arna said during the week, it's in these big games that you value yourself. It's a bit sort of different halves, weren't they? Where you look and we've got to get back into the game, we've got to get more possession. Last 20 minutes of the first half, not as much. You look at the game, both goalkeepers, I don't think, have had a decent save to make.
That's true, actually.
And as much as we were maybe worried, they've had not had great chance, maybe had better possession. But you look at it in the cold light of day, you go, I'd take that. I know it's a chance maybe missed because of their defensive problems, but you're still away from home. You've still got to make it count. And I think especially coming back from 1-0, 2-1, I think it's a great result.
Yeah, it's a great show of character, I suppose, as well. You know, coming back from twice a goal down. I think on a slot, when he goes away and reflects on that, I think we'll be satisfied on the journey home tonight.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was by far our biggest test this evening. Arsenal started off, you know, really well, didn't they? So it was good, like Phil said, about coming back twice and riding the storm as such, especially, you know, a few areas out there where the 1v1 duels wasn't particularly going our way. So to get back in the game, and I thought the subs that we made a real impact. Tsimikas is growing from strength to strength every time he comes on. I think he's, especially in possession, he was a massive threat going forward along that side with Gakpo. So it's really good to see. And I thought a point will go away from it and be made up with that.
I think not a game that you could look at and say at times, strange from two of the top teams in the Premier League. It wasn't high on quality a lot of the time, I don't think, but what it maybe lacked in that at times, it made up for in entertainment value, definitely.
Entertainment value, probably intensity would be the word, Beck, because you look at it, they probably say, well, we didn't play as well as we can do and we've got a draw out of it, but it's their home game. And at the start of the season, you're looking at Arsenal and Manchester City. They're going to be, if we're going to make a stake for the Premier League to give it a right bash, they're going to be the ones that we are. And it's the away games. How do we shape up? And I think coming here, they'll be disappointed that they've not troubled Kavim as much. We probably will do. But it's, if you want two good teams, two really good teams cancelling each other out. Because the second half, you look at it in the wide areas, where they were so effective in the first half with Saka, you were frightened every time he got the ball. He's nowhere in the second half. Martinelli, frightened in the first half. We negated him. So, of course, we grew into the game and forced them back. I can't remember Saka having a run in the second half.
Yeah, Liverpool couldn't get a grip of Saka in that first half. I think it was interesting because the kind of buzzwords under Arne Slot, if you like, have been control and composure. I think in that first half, it's probably the first game maybe that we've seen that control maybe wasn't there, but that did change a bit in the second half.
Yeah, there was bouts of the game where we just had to suck it up and take Arsenal having control of the game. So I think we grew into the game at times, and especially when the lads came on, the subs like I mentioned before, I think they made a real impact. And Arsenal lost, you know, Timber and Gabriel at vital moments, which would always help Liverpool try and get back into the game. So it was.
They'll be fifth next week.
Yeah, probably. it was good to see, you know, the lads come together and keep fighting, and the determination that was shown the first half when we was under the cosh a little bit. We came in probably at half time and felt like Arsenal was probably the better side. So it was a credit to the players. I mean, they're all world-class players, aren't they? So they know how to sort of ride the storm as such, and they've done that. And I think, you know, 2-2, we could reflect on that it was probably our biggest test and be happy with taking that point.
Yeah, credit to the boss as well, because that's a big team talk at half-time, and obviously did the trick because, as we say, they were markedly improved after the break.
Yeah, because we're all there, and we got the three lads who are watching. We're all coaches at that time. Yeah. You're all going, I'm trying to have a look. I'm doing a commentary with Steve, and I'm looking, thinking, has he made any changes here? Has he done things? We could have been a lot better. And I think Arne's gone, oh, this is going to do me. We go out, the same players,
yeah.
And he's gone out there and given them a chance, and we've responded. Because I think we controlled the second half far better than the first half. We were better in possession the second half. So I think that big team talk certainly helped the players come out the second half and perform.
OK, we'll go to our fan panel who've dialed in on the video link. Josh, I'll come to yourself first. Were you expecting changes at half-time, firstly, and how did you feel the game went overall? You satisfied?
Yeah, I think potentially. I think Bukayo Saka was obviously a problem for Liverpool early on. And going in at half-time, that was something in my mind that, you know, maybe you bring on Szoboszlai was running power to kind of give Robertson a bit more cover. Maybe you potentially even bring on Joe Gomez or Tsimikas with fresh legs or something along those lines. But as Phil says, you know, slot goes again. And I do think the second half was much better. And I think it was one of those games where I'm not sure the performance was that brilliant. I'm not sure Arsenal's performance was that brilliant either. It was kind of relatively cagey for me. And in those games as well, like away from home, you know, against a title rival and things like that, you haven't got your best goalkeeper, you haven't got your starting centre forward. And you go behind twice, by the way. I would have taken 2-2 before the game. I would have taken 2-2 when we went a goal down. And I would have taken 2-2 when we went 2-1 down as well. So I think it is one of those games where you just almost don't even think about the performance too much. You just recognise that you've picked up a point away from home against the top side of you. And yeah, we take it.
Yeah, so I'll come to yourself and ask that question. Before the game, what would you have taken? I suppose I think a lot of Liverpool fans a few weeks ago probably would have felt a point would have been enough. But then obviously with Arsenal, disruption in the camp, injuries and suspensions, it looked like a bit of an opportunity. But the way the game unfolded, you've got to be happy with what you've got tonight, I think.
Yeah, definitely. So, I had a friend message me on a WhatsApp group earlier this week to say that Saka was out. So at that point, I thought to myself, yeah, it's a massive opportunity. But when I saw Saka in the team today, I would have taken 2-2. You know, I think sometimes you just got to hold your hands up if it, you know, when an opposition player is that good. And I thought in the first half, Saka was just petrifying. Like, yeah, I think Robert will be having the sleepless night tonight. But yeah, 2-2, I think you know, for me, that's a kind of a pass score. So if we're going to be title contenders, I think, you know, 2-2 away at Arsenal is what you would want to get from that. And then obviously you'd look to win your home game. So it's a better result for us than it is for Arsenal, I think.
Do you think we defended better in that second half? What I mean by defended better, we stopped the ball getting to Saka rather than, you know, he keeps on getting the ball. Well, hold on a minute. Let's make sure they go out the other side, where obviously Saka was sort of quite frightening, particularly in the first 20 minutes.
He was petrified, wasn't he? Like, and he's just so good. And you're absolutely right. I think I sent a message at half-time saying that, you know, we lacked a bit of aggression in that first half, so they were kind of swarming all over us. But I think we just defended much better as a team in the second half. Yeah. Like, we defended from the front more. And it, you know, and I think that really, really helped take Saka and Martinelli out of the game. So I just think, yeah, we seem to up our aggression, up our intensity in the second half. And that really, really came through.
OK, let's go to Alex. Alex, you're in Denmark. Whereabouts in Denmark do we find you tonight?
Copenhagen.
Oh, greetings to Copenhagen. Thank you for joining us. Listener, just your thoughts on the game. Do you agree with what the lads have been saying? You're satisfied with the point?
Yeah, absolutely. I also take two positives. We came back twice and then we got a point. I think it was more important for Arsenal to win than for us.
Agreed.
Yeah, and obviously not to lose was kind of important for us. So keeping the distance in the table, I thought, yes, that's good for us. And as you say, Saka was frightening in the beginning, but it looked like McAllister was moved a little bit to the left to support him out there. And from that point on, it was Martinelli or no one, really.
Okay, we're going to take a look at the match stats, more from our guys on Zoom very shortly, but let's take a look at these. And I think these reflect pretty well on Liverpool, really. More passes, you will see, and possession as well overall, even though Arsenal have got the greater XG here. Does that reflect, Phil, pretty much on how you saw the game?
Yeah, I don't know where the XG comes into a game like that when you consider both goalkeepers not really being troubled. And it'd be interesting to see what it was like at half time, the possession, the passes.
Yeah, probably quite a difference.
And that's where the game changed. And that's where I think Arne must be absolutely delighted. When you're playing such a high quality team who are based on possession, is to wrestle control back and then see your stats, if you want, step up. The XG, that was probably more overloaded in the first half than it was in the second half. But touches in opposition box, not too much difference, which is very good in for us. But it was great, and at least we got a sucker punch back on them from a set piece. And yeah, scoring from the corner.
Yeah, we'll go through the goals in a moment. But I think, Martin, if you'd shown Arne Slot those stats before the game, he probably would be quite satisfied with that possession, almost 55% away from home at the Emirates.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it showed the character from the lads to stay in the game in them, tough moments, especially the first half. So the crosses were, maybe not as effective as what we'd like. I think, when Tsimikas came on, he was starting a little bit higher than what maybe Robbo was, and it was at a time of a game where we had more joy down the left, where Cody was going, both ways down the flank. Party was, struggling a little bit out there towards the end, running up against him. So it was that was good to watch. I think Arne's, game plan, and this was by far his biggest game to try and understand tactically. He done really well today, especially with the changes, I thought, at the right time, like Tomo said. Never changed at half time. Gave the lads an opportunity second half to rid that storm, get Saka not on the ball as much the second half. They'd done that and then just grew into the game.
So in terms of the top of the table, there was so much talk, even in October, that this game could kind of shape the destiny of the title. I don't know whether you subscribed to that early on, but City probably will look at that table tonight, and that's obviously the result that they wanted.
Yeah, but City have been round the block how many times now? It wouldn't have worried them, whichever way it went. You're looking, people were saying, oh, Liverpool, we win the game, we've got 7 points clear. I still, it's a long season. It's so early in the season that these sorts of, everybody's jockeying for positions, if you want. It's like a 10,000 metre, and we're only halfway through, not even halfway through, and it's people are just jockeying, seeing how it is. We're doing really well because we're the surprise package here. It was only a couple of weeks ago, and people saying, oh, Liverpool have gone under the radar. So it's been really good. We've done exceptionally well to do what we've done. Arne deserves a lot of credit, him and his staff, to get everybody ready, everybody to be psyched up for it. And again, this, what happened today, it's only a few times I've seen and lost as cool, and it was once again today. But overall, it's been a terrific start.
Yeah, I want to pick up on what Phil says there about almost being the surprise package. And does that maybe suit Liverpool in a way? Because the pressure's obviously on City and on Arsenal, who've obviously come so close a few times now. And maybe that is a little bit of pressure off Liverpool, and that can work in their favour.
Yeah, I think so. I think when you look at Arsenal, who they bought in the summer compared to who we added to our squad, and then you see Arne coming in and sort of revitalises all the squad in terms of no one knows who. I mean, we'd all guess our own and the lads starting 11, but I think the impacts of the subs is making it harder each week for Arne to pick his starting 11 now, and that's good for us as fans watching to see, there's some games that suit some of the players and others that suit other games. So for us to see Liverpool playing so well with the squad that we've got, looking so, healthy, apart from one or two that we'd like to see, I'd like to see, hear the lads take on Nunes starting up front and getting 90 minutes. He's deserved that. We all want him to start and to get firing that we know that he's capable of doing. So it's an exciting time to be a Liverpool fan.
Yeah, I'll bring in Josh and ask you your take on Darwin Nunes, because I think there's so much, we always say this on the channel, but there's so much support and goodwill to Darwin Nunes, and I think that the entire fan base wants to see him succeed.
Yeah, I'm probably not the best person to ask, to be honest, because I'm one of them who's in the stadium singing his name. I think he's generally just a naturally difficult player to defend against. I think even on a bad day, he's just a nuisance for any defender. And, you know, running it behind and things like that. He gets a lot of shots, typically. Not so many this season, which is interesting. I do think this season under Arne Slot, maybe he's showcasing a little bit more of a complete game for me, maybe, you know, a little bit more of an all-rounder, a bit more considered in the way he uses his defensive game and how he presses and things like that, a bit more of a team player, maybe. Obviously, the finishing side is the main talking point, and I am generally of the belief that sometimes finishing goes for you, sometimes it doesn't. You know, we've seen him lob goalkeepers away from home, we've seen him score some great, he scored earlier this season against Brentford with his weaker foot from the edge of the box. So he's got that in his locker, he's got that potential, but just kind of harvesting it from him has proved to be a little bit, you know, it fluctuates, doesn't it, over his time at Liverpool so far. But I think the bottom line is he's got all the tools to be a really top player, and, you know, Liverpool's equalising goal today, he plays a crucial part in.
Do you think, Josh, he's got to be a little bit cuter in the box with his back to goal? I can remember him getting played in the box. I don't know where it's from. Szoboszlai played into it left, and the defenders behind him, he's about sort of 10 yards out, and he falls over. He controlled the first one and then fell over, and you went, oh, Darwin. Because as a central defender, Martin and myself, you would be panicking when he gets hold of that ball and he falls over, and you go, oh, Darwin. I think these are the little things which, if you want, let him down in a way. I think he panics when he's got to control the ball back to goal. Mm. Whereas all players, I think you said, Josh, that they've all got different assets.
Yeah.
And I think Darwin brings what Darwin brings. And I think you've seen what he's done today, because he rattled them a lot of the time there today.
Yeah, no, it's a really good point. I do think he does seem to be that kind of player who will just occasionally fall over when he gets the ball, and he seems a little bit clumsy maybe at times. And I think in comparison to some of the other players that typically occupy the final third for Liverpool, he's maybe the least technically proficient at times. And it's weird as well with him, because he's kind of got the physique of maybe what you'd label as a traditional target man. Like, he's about, you know, he's about 6'3", and he's certainly up for a fight and things like that. But as you say, when he's receiving the ball with his back to goal, sometimes it does just bounce off his shin or doesn't hold up particularly well. And he isn't just a really interesting player in that sense, but his movement is generally quite good, and that's why he gets really good shots in really good areas. But yeah, I think his technical work maybe explains why Slot has favoured Jota so far this season. I think Slot seems to me to be a lot more of a possession-based coach, a bit more in the mould of a Guardiola than a Klopp. And I think given that, you know, he's probably opted for the more technically secure player than Jota. But as I said, I still think Nunes has got all the tools there to be really dangerous when he's called upon.
Just a quick break in today's show to let you know that LFC TV Go is now available as a smart TV app on Amazon Fire TV and Android TV as well. You can watch all the latest on-demands and live content directly through your smart TV, whether it's full-match replays, post-match analysis, exclusive interviews, or original documentaries that delve into the club's rich history and achievements. Simply download from your TV's App Store, log in with your registered user details, and get easy access to everything LFC. Now, let's get back to the show. Arne Slot is on his way, I'll tell you that, but just while we're waiting for the boss, we'll go through the goals. We'll start with the equaliser, the second equaliser, obviously, Mo Salah's. I think this is a goal, Martin, that it's what Liverpool do so well. They switch from defence to attack so quickly. Obviously Trent puts the ball in, it's Darwin, and then plays in Mo.
Yeah, I think it starts from Ibu as well, doesn't it? Who tracks him on the back, clears it up. Who had an outstanding game.
Sorry, Ibu, I didn't give him the credit.
He got the ball first, passed it to Trent, and you want the one player in your team that can play that ball over the top. I think Josh said before about Darwin's touch, but Darwin nearly tripped over his own foot, passed it over to Salah, didn't he? So he's done well to find that ball, and Salah's still got a little bit to do with with that finish. So it's a real good equaliser, and to come back from the two goals, it's a real plus for Arne, as well as, you know, getting to understand more about his squad, the resilience that they showed today, going through them moments that they haven't been through yet in the Premier League, where it was backed against the walls, and, you know, back end of the first half they were pressing in ones and twos, which isn't like Liverpool at all. I think they conceded a free kick and conceded from it after doing that. So the lads will learn a lot from this game, more than any other game, I feel. They did last week against Chelsea, and they obviously have done today. And going into Brighton midweek, I think he will make a good few changes, not trying to, you know, let anything go for the game after in the Premier League. And you look at the games coming up, you've got Brighton, who are a top side now in the Premier League, and then Villa, who are just behind us.
Yeah, we'll speak about Brighton actually in just a moment. Two games in a matter of days with Brighton, obviously Carabao Cup and then Premier League at Anfield. Just a quick word on Mohamed Salah, because that is 10 goals in 16 appearances, Liverpool appearances, I should say, for Mo Salah against Arsenal. It moves him, more importantly, into joint eighth place on the Premier League's all-time goal scorers list. He is now level with Robbie Fowler on 163, which I don't think there's any doubts, Phil, in these parts, that he's already a legend, but what a servant he's been and continues to be.
Absolutely, and it the fella's super fit, doesn't miss many games. And I agree, I think it was with Jan, he didn't have, or it was Rob, didn't have maybe one of his better games, but he's such a threat. He is, there's always an assist in him, there's always a goal in him. And that was still hard. I was just talking to Martin, and even when the ball comes, there's not a great deal of pace on it from Darwin. But he's trying to make sure he gets the right bit of pace on Mo, still got it, because there's only one place it's going to go, and Rea is going to go that way full stretch. So Mo's got to put it in. There's still a bit of work to do. He makes it look so easy as well, and you think he has been fantastic, and his stats are incredible for a wide man, Becky. That's what we've got to remember. Look, at a lot of people there, Frank Lampard maybe. No, but the rest of them are all strikers.
They're out and out strikers, aren't they? Most strikers. Of them, yeah.
Even Robbie and Jermaine Defoe. Wow, some
phenomenal
record.
I'll ask yourself, Josh, actually, because what Phil said there about, you know, the thing with Mo Salah is sometimes he does have quiet games, but he always has that touch of magic up his sleeve, and that is what the very, very top players always do.
Yeah, it sums him up, doesn't it? He's just continues to break these records. And I was looking at those numbers then, actually, and I think Robbie Fowler's played about 150 games more, something like that, on them numbers there. Yeah. So, and Robbie Fowler's unbelievable, one of the best finishers I've ever seen in the Premier League. So I agree with everything that's being said as well. I think Salah had a little bit of an off day today, but even despite that, he goes and kind of decides the result with a finish that wasn't particularly easy. I mean, it was a dodgy layoff from Nunes, as always seems to be the case. And the actual finish, as you say, Reyes full stretch. So it just sums him up. Even on a bad day, Salah is just an output merchant. He just seems to have that product attached to his game all the time. It's always goals, it's always assists. And when you've got one of them players in your front line, you know, you've got a chance to get a result anyway.
Yeah, Si, we'll come to yourself, because it still seems, when you look at those stats, it's quite remarkable, but he often still doesn't get the credit nationally that he deserves, and certainly that a lot of the other players on that list do.
Yeah, I think he's one of those. I think, you know, when he eventually leaves us and goes elsewhere, I think that'll be the moment when people realise just what a player he's been. And I think he's, you know, from my point of view, he's in the conversation with, you know, with Kenny and Steven Gerrard about, you know, kind of the best, you know, the best player to ever play for us. I think he's definitely in that conversation. You know, what's just so amazing about him is how hungry he is. And I was on earlier this season, I said he just looks really, really hungry this season. You know, and the point the other guys have made is so true. You know, like, he doesn't always impact the game, but he impacts the game, if that kind of makes sense. And like, he can stand, you know, for 88 minutes, you sometimes don't even know he's on the pitch, but then he'll do something. He'll create a goal, he'll score. And it's just an unbelievable quality to have, and we're lucky to have him.
I think he's, you know, it's a great thing with Mo Salah. When he's gone, when his final days are up, we'll look back and go, he's one of the greats. But we don't talk about that as now. Mm. As, you know, but Mo's still scoring goals, smashing records, blah, blah, blah. But the question of the greatest of all time, wow, he's going to be in the question.
It's hard to appreciate a legend when they're still there and they're still playing.
Absolutely, no, without a doubt. Josh
but
alluded to that, didn't he?
He's definitely one. Okay, listen, I promised you Arne Slot, and here he is with Rob Jones.
If you would have asked me at halftime, you get a point out of this game, I would have immediately signed for that. If you looked at the first half, then I take into account that my players are always able to come back strong because they are so fit. We have some very good players on the bench to help us as well. So I wouldn't have signed for it, but after the first half, I think Arsenal deserved to be one goal up. In the end of the game, I think we deserved this point. And then your main thing to remember is the second half, and then you're like, was there more into it for us? But I think in the end it was a well-deserved point.
In that first half, was that one of the first times since you've been the manager that you felt your team didn't quite have control of the game? And what did you change when you spoke to your players at half-time?
Last 25 minutes against Chelsea, we had control because we defended really well, but today we had to defend a lot. And still they threatened us. They didn't have that many big chances, though. And the second goal, they also had to score from a set piece. But if you play a stadium like this against this quality, against a team that's managed for 4 or 5 years by the same manager, they have so many different structures and formations where they can come up with in so many different setups and build-up. So they can go with a fullback inside. I cannot even name all of them because that would take too long. And then after the first half, you know what they do. So you can adjust your game plan maybe a bit and take a bit more risk. And that's what we did second half. But the main thing was, I think second half, we put more energy into the game. We pressed them earlier. We were more aggressive also with the ones that came in. And physically, we, made a big point today. If you look at how strong we were the second half.
Mo Salah moves level 8th on the all-time Premier League top goal scorers. The finish is good. The quality of the run around Darwin is brilliant. And to have a forward who just doesn't have too many chances in a game but takes the one he gets is priceless for a manager.
Yeah, definitely. Although I just said that I think both teams didn't have that many chances. So us scoring both twice shows you the quality players that are on the pitch. But coming back to Mo, yeah, it was a great ball from Trent as well. Great assist, great run by Darwin, who hasn't played that many games yet. For him to play 3 in a row and to be able to put so much energy into the game, that probably tells us and me a lot how hard he worked in the previous weeks. And yeah, then there is Mo doing what he always does. But I also liked his work rate today, how much he helped the team. And he was a constant threat, although that maybe didn't lead to chances, but it was maybe also for a reason why Jurrien Timber had to go off after an hour. Okay, I know he's been injured for the last few weeks, but playing Mo Salah gives you a bit of stress as well.
Just finally, you spoke a lot in the first couple of months about knowing that the bigger tests were coming. Have you learned anything different about your team in the last week or so that you didn't get from the first 8 or 9 games?
Yeah, I saw different things in the last two Premier League games we've played. I think all the other ones were quite similar, but last week we had to defend our lead against a very strong Chelsea. And that's what we did. So that was something that was, especially against such a strong team, one of the first times. And today we had to come back 2 times from going behind. And I don't think we went behind many times at this moment. And going 2 times behind in a hostile, is that the way you say it? Yeah. So the fans were quite loud today. Environment, and then to show up the way we did the second half was something I've learned today and take as a very positive from today.
Yeah, Arne Slot speaking to LFC TV. It's funny where they always say teams are a reflection of their manager, and composed and controlled is what we've heard about Liverpool in this start to the season. And he really epitomises that, Arne Slot. He speaks so well and just seems quite unflappable, given he's so early into the job as well.
And it's character. Mm. That's one thing that we've not used that word in this after the game. Is the character that this team has shown. He's shown it with his decisions, making these substitutions, not just in this game, but for a lot of the games, he's got it absolutely spot on. Yeah. And the players have come on and impacted the game. But the character, what they've shown today, him with his decision-making, him keeping calm, except when a fella threw himself to the floor when Darwin was behind him, and they all lost it, which I appreciate that. But it was the character. to go one down against Arsenal at the Emirates and then to come back from 2-1 down, he'll be looking at his team and going, I can rely upon you.
Yeah.
I know you've got all, there's something inside you which pleases me. And he's right, because you're sometimes like that. Arsenal sometimes are like Arteta.
Yeah.
All jumpy, all sorts, whoa, whatever, all up, all diving all over the place and everything. We're playing in Army's eyes image and everything is nice and calm.
Yeah, and it goes back to last season when you think about Liverpool under Jurgen Klopp. He's an exhilarating character and it was exhilarating football that you watched at times. And I think it's definitely been they've evolved into a calmer team, definitely, and that control that we keep speaking about as well, that he embodies too.
Yeah, look, it's a different setup under Arne. I think we can see that, but you know what it's like when a new manager comes in, when you're a player. You know, all the players are trying to impress this manager, starting from the pre-season right up until now. You see lads coming in, making that impact because they want to start the next game. So I think we're in that era at the start now where all the Liverpool players have jumped right on board to Arne as a real top coach. They're understanding his tactics. Like we said there, these games against the Arsenals and the top sides, it comes down to them fine small margins of tactical decisions and awareness of, like he said, at half time he understood the fullback coming in so many times. He couldn't, you know, how many times that happened with Arsenal, and he thought that going out second half and pressing higher more would result in us gaining more control, and that happened. So right away we can see how tactically astute he is as a head coach. So when you get that alongside the world-class players that he's been given, you can see the changes when he does make it. They make real impacts, and we're lucky to see a side now with a really good squad that come, you know, on Wednesday night against Brighton. He will make changes. I still think we'll see control in the game, even though it's away at Brighton. I don't think much will change where you see in cup games that sometimes when you make a few changes it can be different for sides, the outlook of it.
Yeah.
I think will grow from strength to strength off the back of what he's seen out there today, and the lads will be, you know, full of confidence after going down twice in the game and being able to come back from that against a side who, you know, on paper are going to be right up there come the end of the season.
We are just going to quickly go to our Zoom guests and get their thoughts on a slot. Joss, I'll come to yourself because, listen, as humans, we're always wary of change, and it was such a huge change that happened over the summer with Jurgen moving on. But your impressions, obviously, I'm sure you're thrilled with how it's going, but what aspects of Arne Slot's management have you been so taken by and so impressed by?
I don't know where to start, to be honest. There's quite a few of them. I think, surprisingly for me, because I don't usually touch on this sort of thing too much, but I think just the way he's handled himself press conference wise and paying respects to Klopp whenever possible, and there's been times where Liverpool have won games relatively comfortably, he's been presented with the opportunity to praise his players, and instead of doing so, he's basically said, well, we could have done this a little bit better. So just kind of setting that standard and going out and winning every single week has really impressed me. And on top of that, I think tactically, I do think the change that we've experienced over the summer in terms of the playing style is definitely a positive one. Not so much the system formationally or anything like that, but specifically the way Liverpool behave with the ball. I think it is a lot more measured now. It's a lot more calculated, a lot cooler, a lot calmer. And I think last season on the Jurgen, we were just a bit too basketball for me, a little bit too helter-skelter, and at times that benefited Liverpool because of the players we've got, you know, going both ends. But at times I think we were a little bit too open. I think too often Alisson in particular was facing, you know, just one or two 1v1s every game, and I think that stemmed from Liverpool's use of the ball, Liverpool just rushing things at times, and Slotters came in and assessed that. You know, he's kind of re-evaluated the whole risk versus reward of Liverpool's decision making when they're in possession, and now whenever we do give the ball away, we're a lot more set to defend. And you know, we've only conceded, I think it's 5 goals now all season. That's been the biggest improvement, and it all stems from the changes that Slotters instigated, really.
Si, let's move on to yourself. Josh is singing the boss's praises. What about yourself? You feel the club is in very safe hands with Arne Slot?
Yeah, I love the word cool, and that's what he's been since he's been since he's been at the club. I think he's just been cool about everything. But what actually I think Josh pretty much summed up my thoughts around Klopp there. But I think the thing that I've really enjoyed in the last two games is seeing his personality come through on the touchline, because he is very cool, he is very calm, but he's lost it a couple of times in the last couple of games, and it's nice to see that kind of emotion coming through. I think he's had two bookings now as well, so I think he's I thought we wouldn't have anyone quite so bookable as Klopp, but the fact that Arne's had two bookings already is it good for, but I think that's a good thing. So I love the fact how cool and calm he is in his demeanour, but I also love the fact we've seen that kind of that emotional side come out in his personality in the last couple of games too.
Yes, very true. And I know you like to see that from your managers as well. I'm sure Arne Slot doesn't want to pick up too many cards, but you like to see your boss having a bit of passion as that controlled exterior.
I don't know what I was meaning he's got a yellow card today, because it was one of his assistants,
I think, yeah, but it was quite confusing at the time.
Yeah, it was at the time, but it's not a problem. And we've seen against Chelsea, he gets carried away in the emotion, not too much, because... You want him to be his own man. You want him to be Arne Slot, who is nice, cool, and calm. We had Jürgen. We had Jürgen's Red Machine, which was fantastic. Arne is a little bit more composed. It's, as we explained earlier, they're playing in his mind's eye. They're playing the way he is, nice and calm. But it doesn't do him any harm to get excited now and again.
Wonderful stuff. Thank you very much to you both. And thank you as well to our guys over on Zoom for joining us. That is it from this episode of The Reaction. We will be back on Wednesday, though, with analysis and exclusive interviews too from the Amex as Liverpool take on Brighton in the Carabao Cup. Until then, if you haven't already, please do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you never miss an episode when they drop.